Hello. Today I will speak about the logistic map. Map, that's avbildning in Swedish. First something from calculus and differential equations and the population dynamics. If you start have a function that is at time zero, it's one, and the derivative of it is every time it's proportional to the value itself times a constant, here denoted r. Then we have a rapid increase of this x value when time evolves, and we call this solution the e to the power of rt. The base there is around 2.7 something, and that's an explosion. It's really a dramatic increase if r is positive. But of course, this is not, if you think of population dynamics, this cannot be very realistic for large populations. If the shortage of food and resources and so on, this growth must at some time be slowed down. How do we do this with mathematics? Yeah, the most obvious thing is, as on the next line there, to introduce a square term with a minus sign in front. B is a new constant to be determined, and if this is positive and you have the minus sign in front, you understand that when x becomes large, this term will start to have a big impact on the derivative. Note, it's still a differential equation. You have a x prime to in the left hand side there, so the growth will be slowed down. And we don't go into the technical things to solve this problem, get an explicit solution. It's possible. I draw a sketch there for us, in fact. The number of humans on the Earth, 2014, I have not exact figures, but I think it's around a little more than 7 billion people. And people have tried to estimate these R and B. And there have been very much an exponential growth the last couple of hundred years, with a doubling time of 60 years or something like that. But as far as I know, there is a process now that this will be slowed down, and maybe it will settle around 11 billion in 35 years or something like that. We will see. There have been a lot of predictions in the history about the populations, and they have often been wrong before due to inventions that smart humans have invented things, or we have explored natural resources elsewhere. I remember some claimed in the 19th century, now Belgium cannot be greater than more inhabitants than some number. But in fact, increased. But that was maybe due to resources from Congo that belonged to Belgium at that time. Yeah. Okay, that was something about population dynamics, and we stick here to to discrete mathematics. So we do recurrence relations, or sometimes they are called the difference equations instead of differential equations. So I put R equal to B and take a number to start with, x naught in the interval 0 to 1. And I make it discrete there. And then I get the logistic map at the bottom of lower part of page 1. In the next step, it's the x value is R constant there times the previous value times 1 minus the previous value. So there we get in this shortage of food term, so to speak. And what could be interesting R values here? Well, from 0 to 4. And this function here is sometimes called F in my notes. In my program, Mathematica program, it's called G, and R is called A, just to confuse you. But it's the same problem. Okay. This is a nonlinear recurrence relation. Why? Due to the x squared term. It's first order. It doesn't depend on steps, earlier steps, just the previous steps. And it's homogeneous. No extra term added there. And in the figure down to the very right, I have drawn the parabola, upside down parabola, to get on the unit interval together with the line y equal to x, the dashed one. And you see that they cross each other, these two, at two points, at 0 and somewhere up around 0.65 something. These two points are called fixed points, because if I put them in the right hand side, out comes the same value. If I put in 0, out comes 0. And there is another such fixed point. They are important. It's important here to stress that for nonlinear problems, we have no formulas, exact solutions, as for the linear cases in the book. We here really, we have to be more qualitative understanding what's going on, and just run it on the computer. So let's turn page 2. And here I have done, it's the same plot again. R is 2.8 also here. And I make a graphical illustration what happens for if I start with 0.2. Maybe I should say also one here is the unit. This could be a maximum population, and it could be for, the unit here could be a billion or a million or something. So don't be confused. It's between 0 and 1. Okay, let's see what happens here. And you can do this with your on a pocket calculator also. Put in 0.2, out comes something like 0.45. This 0.45 should be now be out, this is my x1 value. This should now be input in the next step. How do I graphically do this? Well, I go to the y equal x line, the dashed one, seek it, go horizontal, and there I find x1 on the x-axis. And then I go up to the curve again and continue. I do it a couple of times here, and You see here that this fixed point around 0.65, it seems that this is really attracting. Wherever I start, it seems I'm approaching and approaching and approaching this fixed point. And we can in fact solve the equation at the fixed point. I call it x star there. When I put in x star, out comes x star. And then you see that this equation there on the middle of page 2, it has two solutions, 0 of course, but the other one is 1 minus 1 divided by 2.8. And also interesting to plot is another curve here, namely f of x. Oh my goodness, what's that? I on each position where the, instead of x I put in the function f. Then I get a fourth a polynomial of degree 4. Yeah, and it tells us what happens after two iterations. Two iterations, it, since it's f of f. And I plotted here also on page 2 down there for 2.8, yes. And we see that this one has two fixed points, 0 of course, and the one we already have seen. And if you take, for instance, 0.2, this fourth order polynomial gives something about 0.7 something. And that's exactly my x2 value in the previous figure up there. So f of f tells us what happens after two steps. Now we will turn this parameter, this r, it could have some physical, biological meaning, I don't know. For the moment, we skip the modeling here. We just do the mathematics. So let's see what happens when we change R to 3.14, for instance. That's on the page 3 on the top there. And you see the same upside down parabola again. Two fixed points at 0 at in the same region there around 0.65 something. Is there any difference here? Yeah, there is a difference because the slope at this right fixed point to the right, it's more steep. So if you try now yourself to do a graphical iteration like we did before, try that yourself. You will see, maybe you can see it by your eye almost, that if you start nearby this fixed point there, you go away from it instead of approaching it. So we say that the fixed point is not attracting any longer. It has lost its stability. It's unstable. And what's the new structure? Where will these orbits go if they go away from this fixed point instead of attracting it? Well, next figure, f of x again. And it was a little, you see the same, you see a fourth order a polynomial of degree 4. And well, I have made that line curve a little bit thicker, but you maybe you see that now this curve cuts the dashed line. Besides for 0, it's there are 3 intersections up there. In the right hand side, there 3 intersections. Of course, the previous one we have seen before, the fixed point that is now we believe it's unstable, and 2 other more. They were not there on the previous page. They have been appeared now due to the change of the parameter. So they are fixed points for f of f. What's that? Yeah, so that means they come back to the same point after 2 iterations. They belong to a 2 cycle. So, and that's if you hit exactly on this 2 cycle, you will get a square. Maybe you can use these 2 figures yourself and do and plot this square yourself. I have not included it here, the 2 cycle where I jump between 2 points. So this 2 cycle is an so-called an attractor. All orbits are going in towards this 2 cycle. So this is a common scenario in maps like this. So the fixed point lost its stability, but instead a 2 cycle was born. And that is now stable, and every other orbit is attracting in towards this. This is what I mean with qualitative understanding of what's going on in this dynamics. Let's turn page to number 4. And now you can maybe ask, oh, what happens when I tune on this parameter or increase it even more up to 4? Well, on the very last page, next page. No, let's see here. 4. Next page, 5. There you see the answer, an interesting figure of what's happening when I change R for this system. The figure is made in the following way. You start with any starting point, let it run a couple of 100 times. Hopefully it's settled down to something, a structure, a fixed point, or a cycle. And then you plot the x value. Or x values, but maybe they are so close to each other, so it doesn't matter. So first you wait a little bit, and then you plot. Let's look on page 5 and turn our head 90 degrees and see what's happening. 2.8, yeah, then R2.8, yeah, then we have only one x value. That's really the fixed point there. And it was around 65 something, yeah. And then you can increase R, and we can see now what happens at the interesting point of 3.0 something there, 3.1 maybe. Because then you it's look like a fork. This goes divides up in two, and then exactly there is the two cycle born. So you see that you get two values instead. This process is called a bifurcation in mathematics and physics. And if we increase even more, we see a new period doubling at 3.45 maybe. And what's happening there, you think? Well, the two cycle loses its stability, and a stable four cycle is born. You see, now you have four branches on your fork, so to speak. Four branches on your fork. And now it becomes complicated. Now it goes pretty fast when I increase R even more here, because you can see at least one. The four cycles, lose its stability, and an eighth cycle is born, and it's stable for a little while. But then it goes, if you magnify this region, you will see a 16 cycle, 32 cycle, 64 cycle, and so on. A so-called cascade of period doublings. And all this this process ends up at around 3.57. And what can happen for higher values? Typically there is chaos, in the sense that one orbit goes over the whole interval. There is no attractor, really. But sometimes there are some windows of stability. For instance, around the biggest window there is around 3.85, maybe, or something like that. You have a window. Can you see? Can you think about what kind of stable structure is living up there? Yeah. The things here was discovered in the 70s by at least, maybe there are several people involved here, but especially a physicist from the States, Mitchell Feigenbaum, who discovered some kind of very interesting structures in these mappings and these cascade of period doublings. He found some kind of law here, how these take place, and I give where these for which R values these period doublings takes place, and I'm giving it both on the page 5 and on page 4. And the most remarkable thing is about this is that then he took other maps, other shapes, and studied them, and he found this F number, the Feigenbaum constant, to be the same, exact the same number, 4.669202, etc. And that was very surprising. So you can say that a new mathematical constant, besides E and pi and all these, they was born here, really, the Feigenbaum constant. And this was a population dynamics. We could think about fish in a lake or something, and R could try to model something in the environment for the fish. But it's also believed in other, in physics. If you have experienced turbulence in an airplane, that you understand that air, that turbulence is a very irregular flow of the air. How is this taking place? We could have very ordered flow, and then we could go over to some very irregular flow. One idea here is that the transition from order to from regular to irregular, from order to chaos, is exactly going on with some kind of with period doublings, exactly as we have seen here, but then in three dimensions, of course. Here, this was really one dimension. Okay, that was something about the logistic map. Next lecture, I will tell you something about cellular automata. Bye.